right, welcome back. It's your favorite new Montreal-based radio show. That's right. Hey, you know what? Maybe we'll win you over to be your favorite national show. That's right. This is the Kaufman Show. I'm Dave Kaufman. Jay Farrar is right across from me. Eric Thomas is on the board right now. Jimmy G will be taking his place in a few minutes. But in the meantime, it's go time.
Mr. Kaufman, or should I say Mr. McAvoy?
Oh, come on now.
Because it's like the newsroom in here. I came into total chaos. Complete chaos. I said, what oil spill happened? Why are we running around all over the place?
I'm a lot more sober than Mr. McAvoy was the night that Bin Laden died.
Speak for yourself.
The show's going to be all right. Don't you worry. We've got a big show tonight. Things got changed around, as you can tell from the news. P.K. Subban has signed a 2-year deal with the Montreal Canadiens, and we will be breaking that deal down for you tonight. We're going to be speaking to Brian Wilde in a few minutes' time, Francois Gagnon in about an hour and a half or so. They were going to join in studio, but, Francois has to go to L'Antichambre at RDS, and Brian had a car accident.
He's okay, though.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's fine. He will be joining us
soon. That purdy face is in good shape.
The car got accidented, not Brian.
Right, exactly.
Everything's good. We've got a couple of callers waiting on the line. We will get to you in a few minutes. You'll have the pleasure of speaking with Mr. Brian Wilde. We're going to try and get in touch with John Liu from TSN in about a half an hour. We'll hear from Sergio Mameso tonight. We'll hear from Mark Bergevin, P.K. Subban. I'm kind of cheating there, though. Those will be taped.
Right.
I mean, again, unless P.K. wants to call in, I did read out the toll-free number for him before.
Did you? Yeah.
1-866-896-2546. If he had signed a 5-year deal, Jay, I would have told him to call the regular line. But 2-year deal. Might as well use that toll-free number.
Poor guy.
Seems only fair to me. Do we have Brian Wilde? We have Brian Wilde. CTV's Brian Wilde now joins the Kaufman Show. He was going to be in studio with us, but got in a little fender bender on the way over to work.
Yeah, I did. I got in a car accident on the way to work.
Are you okay, Brian?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. It's a crazy accident. We were both at a four-way stop, and then we both drove through it at the same time.
So how Quebec of you.
It was not a high-speed accident at all.
Well, thank goodness. On a day where it's been...
But the car's not working because the airbag did
deploy?
Deploy, thank you. I couldn't find the verb.
Oh, that's okay.
It was that kind of an impact, Brian. I guess it was.
I didn't hear what he said.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brian. I said it was that much of an impact that your airbag actually deployed.
Yeah, it was that much of an impact, but I'm sitting here in the cold just fine waiting for a tow truck.
Well, thank goodness you're okay, and we will reschedule our little tête-à-tête debate with Monsieur Gagnon and you for a later date.
Always open to that.
But
always.
In the meantime, and when we had initially planned on having you and Francois in studio, of course we didn't know. We hoped that PK might sign tonight, but we didn't know that he would.
It's unbelievable how much happens on a Monday night.
I know.
In the last year, I think there's just been like 4 or 5 wild shows that you've been involved in.
Brian, I'm going broke bribing all these people, man. I'm trying to prove to them that this stuff's supposed to be spaced out in the space of a week.
You're even bribing the Blue Jays, too. That could get really expensive.
To be fair, I bribe. They don't need bribes. They just raise my cell phone bill every single month.
Exactly.
What are your impressions of the deal, Brian?
Well, Mark Bergevin is one tough cookie, isn't he? That's the first thing that you think. I mean, the guy is so tough. He's such a negotiator that he doesn't even give up the round figure at the end of the deal. You know what I mean? It's not even 900 when it finishes. It finishes at 750. He wouldn't even give away the last $250,000. The guy's a machine of negotiating. I mean, can you imagine? I've never heard of anything like that.
Well, that means that Mr. Molson loves him.
Exactly. He chops down a tree, this guy. It's really, really impressive from that point of view how good this GM is. Now, with that said, I on Twitter and wherever anybody else would listen to me said that I thought a long-term deal was the best deal here, and I had my reasons for it, that I believed economically we're at a cycle right now that expansion is going to be HRR expansion and league expansion is going to mean that revenues are going to fly much higher than anybody expects. And when you bring two new franchises into the league, and they're going to be good ones, they're going to be money-making franchises, it's going to make a difference. The league is going to augment its revenues substantially in the next 5 years. And so with a cap much higher than the number it is now, when he does look at trying to get 6 and 8 years, I think the AAV, his average salary, is going to be much higher. But with that said, the organization didn't believe in him completely to offer him 6-8 and wanted to go with a structure that they've held. They have bridge contracts for players before they give them the 6-8. So they held to their structure, they held to their guns, and you have to give them credit for that. They got exactly what they wanted, and PK didn't get what he wanted. So, you know, if you want to look at it from a pure point of view and you don't care whether it was a 2 or a 6, then you have to just give kudos to Marc Bergevin. The guy is massive. I can't remember another GM that held out as well. And there was a tweet that I just saw, and I thought it was perfect. The guy said, listen, look, when a GM's got a plan and he sticks to his guns, what, we don't have to worry about taxes and all those excuses we've been making for so many years that means Montreal can't have a winner? Doesn't seem like it when Bergevin's at the helm, does it?
No, it really doesn't. The thing that I was fearful of, Brian, which I didn't see at all from or hear at all from listening to that presser, was the fear that this would be looked at as an insult. And I think that's the way it was played out for the last, you know, couple of months or at least for the last month.
But, no, you make a great point there. Absolutely a great point, because the more it went on, the more people were speculating is how much damage is done, who's going to get insulted and hurt and feel as if from the PK point of view that he was undervalued and he feels insulted that nobody appreciates his talents. And from the Marc Bergevin point of view, what kind of selfish kid is this kid, and what kind of know-it-all is he about his worth and trying to disrespect the franchise? And I mean, I thought from both sides, even though I mentioned the points that people were worried about, I thought from both sides all of that was bunk. All of that stuff, when it starts to get nitty-gritty, is just a bunch of crap. This is business, and I don't know why people get lost on that all of the time. The same thing through the lockout. These guys are jerks. These guys are idiots. No, they're conducting business. It's a bunch of lawyers around the table doing what they do, and it always looks grim until they shake their hands and they come out smiling like they're in love with each other. This morning, Marc Bergevin was telling Donnie Meehan all of the reasons that he wasn't worth that money.
Right.
And this evening, he spent telling everybody all of the reasons that PK is gone. That's the way it works. That's business. You're a jerk until you shake a hand, and then you're wonderful.
Anybody who's ever had a fly on the wall, Brian, in an arbitration hearing? I think
sure,
we have
I can imagine what
that
sound like. But you know what? There's the odd time, though. I do remember in baseball, a guy truly did feel damaged by what he heard, and that was a little bit destructive. I remember a couple instances of that I think Randy told me about, because he was so tied in during that era. But, it's just business, and it gets done, it gets concluded, and then everybody forgets. I mean, did PK sound like an angry man tonight?
Not at all.
No, not at all. He sounded like a guy who was thrilled to get to the rink, and he can't wait, and he was watching the games, and he was enthused with the way the team was playing. I mean, somebody said again to me on Twitter something to the point of, I bet you PK's upset, how well the Habs are playing. Oh, come on. Those are all his buddies. Those are the guys he's gone to war with for the last 2 years, and had a good playoff run with, too, some of those guys. I mean, of course they have relationships, and they're friends, and they move forward together, and they stand up for each other. And in society, what we live in our regular work day, and what everybody in their regular work day lives, has no comparison to what a hockey team, a football team, a baseball team, the way those band of brothers stick. There's only two places in the world they stick. It's sports and war. They stick together. We don't even understand that. We spend the whole day backstabbing each other. These guys stick together. They swallow their pride all the time for each other. They're phenomenal human beings on that plane. And no matter what, they don't throw anybody under the bus. They're a treasure in that way. I admire it every day of the week, and I wish my life was like that. There's no way TK was saying anything like that. No way. He was supportive then when he wasn't a team member. He'll be equally supportive, and not even more supportive, but equally supportive when he's on the ice. It's only natural.
We're in conversation with the wonderfully talented Brian Wilde of CTV Sports. I'm going to let Jay Farrar, my co-host, ask you a question. But afterwards, Brian, we've got some callers on the line, and I'm sure they'd love to hear from you.
Okay, yep. Hopefully the phone lasts long enough for my wife to show up.
Okay,
I hope so too. Oh my goodness. No pressure, Jay.
I don't have a big charge here. I wasn't expecting to get in a car accident.
Nobody ever is. Why would we leave the house?
Why would they call it an accident?
Exactly.
I'm getting in a car, purpose. A little late.
Well, Brian, you said something which it actually alludes to my next question, which was I happen, not to name drop, but I happened to be having dinner with two former Habs while the news broke. And one of the first thing that both of them said was, this is going to go over well in the locker room because he signed for much less than what anybody thought he would. It will help the cohesion between the team. It'll go over a little more smooth. And I never thought of it that way because I'm thinking, oh, great, he's going to come in now and they're going to lose five in a row. So,
you know, what happened here is there was a point in the negotiations when both sides were being very mature about it in terms of keeping it a secret. There were no numbers that were being thrown out at all. So the speculation among everyone, fans, media, players themselves, naturally were like, hey, how much is PK asking for? I mean, who does he think he is? And if the number is exorbitant and the demands are exorbitant, then there's this ceiling like, okay, how, is the head too large? And then on Saturday morning, Darren Dreger, which you might as well not even say Darren Dreger, you might as well just say Donnie Meehan said that, Donnie Meehan said that the figure that the Habs are offering is only 5.1 over the 2 years. Because even though that was a tweet by Darren, it was basically a tweet by Donnie Meehan. You can take that to the bank, okay? So there's a number out there, and at that moment, everybody's going, wow, PK's not asking for the world. He's asking for a fair amount. In fact, that's lowballing. That's lowballing 5-1. That's Delzato money. PK's more than Delzato. And so suddenly the whole attitude changes among everyone that PK's not being unfair. Marc Bergevin is a beast negotiator, and he's willing to hold to the last minute and make this offer that's like, really, that low? You're already losing him for games in the season, and it stayed that low? And then when he finally signs for this number that looks to me still on the low side, because when I started to get very tied into the negotiations in the last 2 days and had really good sources on this one, the ends were 5.8 to 6.2. And we end up at, don't even get to 5.9.
Right.
5.875000. You know, that still blows me away. So we're even on the low end of, you know, the final floor mats of the car type of negotiation. So I don't think there's anybody, to your point, Jay, that's going to say that PK was difficult, unfair, pig-headed, big-headed about any of this. That he's going to walk in the room and he's going to be welcomed with open arms. And then the players will say, okay, kid, prove yourself a little. Go get that six-year one for big money.
Let's take some calls, Brian, if you don't mind. We've got Jay in Vaudreuil here on TSN 690. Hello, Jay.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Pleasure. Do you have a question for Brian Wild?
Well, first, I just wanted to say congratulations, perhaps, for signing PK. It's a great signing. I think everyone's happy that he's back. I guess the question I would have is that going back into, I guess, the third year where they got to renegotiate his next contract, starting, I guess, the next point will be at 3.75 or higher, I guess, if the output is there. What do you think? Is that going to cause a problem, or would it have been better to kind of give him a two-year at maybe even amount, a smaller amount on the second term?
Yeah, I touched on that, and just to quickly touch on it a second time.
Sorry.
I think that, no, it's fine. I think that revenues are going to expand, and I think that it will look much more expensive down the line, especially if PK proves himself. And if you would look at the 8 years en masse, I think maybe the Canadians down the road will probably lose $1 to $2 million over the 8 years that they could have got this time, because I think they could have got five for the whole package per as an AAV. So they'll lose a little on the back end is my prediction, but on the front end they get this security of watching him for 2 years and making sure he's worth that money, and that's why they thought bridge deal all along. So yeah, I think that financially there'll be a little loss on the back end, but the security they believed is worth it on the front end. That wasn't my feeling, but I understand their feeling, and I certainly wouldn't go to war over my argument. It's not that strong of one. I mean, the future is never guaranteed for anyone. So, you know, I think the Canadians have done brilliantly here.
I think as well it's a precedent for future negotiations with Bergevin, that it's not going to be easy.
Obviously not. You know, this guy, I mean, Bergevin to me is, they couldn't have done better. I've been saying it for a very long time. I've been saying it, you know, as I've watched him and I've seen what he's done. I mean, to hire all of the people that he did, one thing you first of all said was what Gauthier was afraid of having anyone work with him. Because, I mean, he's hired five management positions to work with him, and I asked him about that. And he answered in the one-on-one interview I had with him over Christmas for CTV for our year-ender that we ran on Jan 1 for an hour. He said, if I hire great people, then I know I never have to worry about what they're working on. I'm not insecure. I'm secure. If I hire Rick Dudley, I know I can rely on Rick Dudley. And Rick Dudley and I could be great together. This is a man who's so secure and so sharp that he just gets it. He just gets it in every way. And the only insecurity I had about any of Mark Bergevin's moves in the beginning was his hiring of the head coach. I was not sure about Michel Therrien, but Michel Therrien has been an absolute animal himself. He is composed. He's poised. He's not egotistical anymore at all. He's a completely changed person right now. He's been an excellent, excellent head coach. His bench management is fantastic. I mean, I can't find a criticism right now at all for Mark Bergevin in any way.
Jay, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Leonard in New Bordeaux on the Kauffman Show. Hello, Leonard. Welcome back to the Kauffman Show.
Hey, Dave and Jay, and hey, Wildman. Welcome. First of all, nice work running with the story.
Thank you.
You know what? I was listening to Brian. He was saying who won and who lost in management and the player. I think at the end of the day, the big winner is the fans. My biggest fear was waking up in April and finding my team out a couple of games out of a playoff spot. I think PK is going to do incredible here. I think he's a marketer's wet dream. This kid could sell whatever you could put his face on. Look at jerseys now. I mean, every second jersey I see is one of his. I mean, the team's going to market that is going to benefit from that at the end of the day. I think everyone's going to be happy. I don't know what else to say. I'm glad they signed him. You know, once again, I'm just always amazed at why it takes so long to do something that seems so simple. No?
I'm with you on that. Yeah.
You know, yeah, no, and that's an excellent point that he makes, because everybody thinks that all the time. I mean, why did we lose half a season on hockey? Why did it take all of this consternation? That's just the way people are. You don't break down until you're against the wall. And that's exactly what happened here. PK broke down when he was against the wall. The players and owners broke down and finally made an agreement with each other at 5 in the morning when they were against the wall.
Yeah, the Andrew Ferentz quote, I think it was, Brian, where they said they got more done in 16 hours than they'd gotten done in 6 months of negotiations.
Exactly, and that's just the way it works. I mean, that's the way business takes care of itself. It doesn't have a timetable that anybody appreciates. It always has a really lousy timetable as people fight and fight and fight. So
you know, it's not only business, guys. My wife gives me the look. I can let you go. I've been on the phone too long.
Leonard, thanks for the call, man.
And you know what? That's perfect timing for me to also say goodbye, because my tow truck has arrived.
Perfect.
Let me take care of business. You've got a commercial in 2 minutes.
Yes, we do.
And I'll meet you on the other side, okay? Call me back around, I don't know, 10, Dave?
It's a date.
Okay, great.
Thank you so much, Brian Wild.
Okay, cheers.
Catch you soon. Boy, everything's just working out perfectly, isn't it?
It really
Jay?
Is. I hope it's roadside assistance as well, and he doesn't have to pay for it.
What do you mean? He said his wife was coming to tow him.
Oh, okay. She drives a tow truck?
She's a woman of many talents.
I guess so. Okay.
Deborah Arbeck, what can't she do, right?
That is true.
This is the Kauffman Show, a special early edition, and it is nice to be on air with you guys. We're very happy to bring you some local programming here right now, and it's needed, Jay.
It is needed. I'm happy to be on this early.
PK Subban has signed a 2-year deal with the Montreal Canadiens, and we are here to beat it like a dead horse.
That's right.
We will be on until 11 o'clock tonight.
We want to hear from the people.
We would do. And the phone lines are filling up. 514-790-1690. If you're out of town, Mr. Subban, it's 1-866-896-2546. Once again, PK, it's 1-866-896-2546. We're owned by Bell. We are more than happy to pay for that call. Let's go back. Let's take one more call before we do a little news update at 9:30. We've got John in Regina, Saskatchewan, Habs Nation, calling in from all across the country. Hello, John.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you, sir?
Good. Lifelong Hab fan, you know, and I really love this signing. You know, this shows PK did want to be there, you know, and it also showed with Mark Bergevin that he wanted to keep him. I mean, you know, if PK didn't, guys, you know, then he would have said, no, I'm not taking this, and we all know how that would have ended, and it would have ended messy. with us probably getting fleeced in a deal and him going on to be, you know, a Norris Trophy winner and a superstar somewhere else and us getting, you know, less than full value for him. And I'm glad because, you know, I've watched this team since the 70s, and I've watched us nurture this guy and all the guys we've drafted them, and I can't wait to watch him and Galchenyuk and, you know, Gallagher and, you know, Kohlberg and all the guys we have coming. Man, this team's going to win the Stanley Cup within 3 years.
Oh, from your lips, John. Now, you sound like you said you've been watching the team since the 70s. Who does Subban remind you of? Have we ever had a player that you think
Chris
compares?
Chelios.
All right.
And too bad we didn't have a Larry Robinson. He's the best defenseman I've seen for us. But, hey, PK, is, if he continues, he'll be just like those guys.
Well, it would be nice to have a Chris Chelios-type player and have him play his career
in Montreal. A combination of Robinson Chelios, the swagger with the talent.
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
And, yeah.
I mean, we can only hope, cross our fingers, that there is as long a fruitful a career as either Mr. Chelios or Mr. Robinson. Larry Robinson played 20 years in the NHL. Chelios, I think, would still be playing if he could.
He played 47 years in the NHL. 47 years.
And all he did was ruin one locker room in the Gano, and that's it. So
yeah.
His record is spotless. I mean, thankfully, there was no internet in Montreal.
That's right. Made Alex Delvecchio look like he had a short career.
All right, we're going to take a little break, and we'll come back on the other side of the break. We're going to take some of your calls. We're going to try and get in touch with John Liu from TSN. We've got Sergio Mameso coming in about 15 minutes' time, we hope. And Francois Gagnon, the hits will keep on coming on tonight's The Kaufman Show.
This is where my heart is. It's in Montreal, and I'm so happy to be able to continue to work on my relationship with Marc Bergevin, the new coaching staff, and everybody there, because it looks like a lot of fun right now, and it looks like it's going to continue to be fun for us this year.
Been a long, long time. I was wrong, girl, and you were right. Baby, baby, took a long, long while. But I found out right.
So was Bergevin singing that to PK this afternoon before the deal went down? This is the Kaufman Show. I'm Dave Kaufman, joined by Jay Farrar, and for a few more minutes, Mr. Eric Thomas will be in studio. Yeah, that's enough of that song. Let's bring in our next guest. His name is John Liu. You see him all dapper, so well dressed on TSN. But you know what? There's a big brain behind that Mr. Blackwell style clothing, and we're going to hear him break down the PK Subban deal. Good evening, Mr. Liu.
Good evening. Yeah, Dave, Jay, great to be back on your show. I'm laughing because you're talking about my wardrobe, but
yes.
Right now I'm wearing like scuzzy sweatpants and a ratty old sweatshirt.
I don't believe
because,
it.
Well, when the news broke, we had to mobilize. I had to come to RDS to file a story for SportsCenter, which will be on in about, I don't know, 25 minutes or so.
I never thought, John, that I'd be using it in this kind of connotation, but pick or it didn't have him.
I bet you still have the bow tie on. I bet you still have the bow tie on, though, John.
Let's not get carried away. Let's not get carried away. It was one of the RDS anchors. The minute I walked in the door there, he looked at me in my scuzzy state there, and he starts laughing because he knows exactly why I'm here. Looking like the way I did. So, yeah, it's been a kind of a crazy night, but you know what? This is tremendous news for the Canadians.
Yeah.
And the fan base.
I think this makes for a very happy Montreal right now, and I look forward to opening the Gazette tomorrow and not seeing anything about the floods or corruption. There's going to be a big picture of PK Subban on the front page and probably on below the fold some sort of parade planning route.
Again, let's not get carried away. But, Yeah, but hey, you know what? It's like they start the day by saying that the two galleys are staying, and then end the evening by announcing that Subban is signing. So so holy cow, Bergevin is just hitting home runs all day long here. But I guess the taking a look at the 2-year deal, not only did he maintain the precedent that his predecessor set, which I think really is good business. You know, it's a proving point in keeping RFA contracts within the reasonable range for a set amount of time. He also, if you take a look at the numbers, that was absolutely essential that he get PK under contract for at least this year and next year at reasonable dollars, because if you go to capgeek.com, before the PK news broke, CapGeek had already included Galchenyuk and Gallagher's contracts. And granted, there's some small money deals that are in the mix there, but they showed about $5 million left under the cap for this season. Basically, adding the Subban contract, and there's no way they could have gone above $5 million. They would have been right at the cap, $70 million. And then looking at the cap going down to $64 next year, it's like, well, where are you going to fit that payroll, fit it all under the payroll, knowing that you didn't have a full 23-man roster committed for next year, and you would have been over the $64 million cap. So, I mean, what Bergevin was able to do today was absolutely critical for the Canadians, not just this year, but next year as well. And you know what? If PK has a tremendous year and a half, well, then good on him. He's going to get a big payoff in, you know, a season and a half. But for now, this was absolutely essential what Mark Bergevin was able to pull off tonight.
I think you just hit the nail on the head, John. He's going to make a huge amount of money, assuming that he lives up to his potential in this year and a half. And it's weird to think that $5.75 million is not viewed as a big contract, but in this day and age, it is not. So he's got a year and a half right now to try and prove that he can make the big money, at which point we hope that the Canadians have the room to accommodate him, because, frankly, he deserves it.
Oh, well, if he continues to if his career tracks upward in the way that he has in the short time that he's been in this league, then there's no question that he will. But moving forward, I'd really like to see the Canadians, Mark Bergevin, just this management regime, implement a philosophy similar to what the Detroit Red Wings were doing, where they had a self-imposed cap, basically the Lidstrom cap, you know, because you make a statement when you identify an individual without whom the club cannot succeed. Basically, he's an indispensable individual, and I think for the purposes of argument's sake, let's say that's Carey Price. Right. That he got the long-term deal. And I mean, by Canadian standards, long-term, but they have eschewed the ridiculous double-digit length careers that caused the last lockout, the most recent lockout. So good on them for that. You know, smart fiscal management and really reasonable dollars. But if Carey Price is the self-imposed cap figure, that basically that is the team's top-end salary, well, then you're setting a precedent where it's like, well, guys are going to understand where if you're building a team atmosphere and it's like success, you can't put a price tag on it. And so guys will be happy to stay within a system where they can compete or win and get paid handsomely, enjoy the trappings of being in the best hockey market in North America, and, you know, still make very good money, but without throwing the salary structure of that team out of whack. That's really something that I'd like to see Mark Bergevin implement, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's able to do so as he moves forward in his tenure.
It'd be interesting to see the Montreal Canadiens be sort of the leaders of financial responsibility in the National Hockey League, I think, because, A, they're one of the big breadwinners in the league, and, B, it would set a great example for the other teams that sometimes sign foolish contracts and potentially get us into messes like lockouts that are prolonged.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, it's like I don't really want to rehash much the lockout too much, because that was certainly painful. And I'd like to think that by putting the brakes on term and variance, that's ideally there aren't going to be loopholes that GMs were finding over the last 3-4 years basically they were able to circumvent the cap and create a mess that's, you know, basically the owners went to the players and asked to take a haircut again to save them from their own largesse, right? So hopefully we're not having that discussion 7-8 years from now. But for the time being, it's, hey, let's be happy with labor peace and be happy with the fact that, you know, the roster for the Canadians in its current composition looks pretty darn good, because up until this point, granted, it's early in the season, but I believe that the team is greater than the sum of its parts. They are a better team. No question they're a better team with PK Subban in the lineup. So I guess if there's a small adjustment period for him to reintegrate, well, then that's probably the reality. But the bottom line is that for them to enjoy success moving forward, it would be hard to imagine them doing so without Subban. And you know what? He's coming back into the lineup, I think, for a really good time, because you look at the games next week. You got Boston at home, which would be their sternest test by far. I mean, Jersey, tough out. But Boston next week. All the changes that Mark Bergevin made last offseason were designed to stand up to teams like the Boston Bruins, the Philadelphia Flyers, the tough, physical, bullyish teams. And so, I mean, next Wednesday will be the true acid test to see what the composition of this team, how it stacks up against top-level, tough competition that's very skilled as well. And then you've got the Sabres the next night, the Leafs return engagement on Saturday. So three divisional games in the space of half a week. So Subban, you know, he's coming back into the lineup at a very opportune time.
He is the best-dressed man in television. We appreciate your time, John, and I find it very hard to picture you sitting there in sweatpants. You've ruined the mystique for me.
Well, sorry to blow that image, guys. But, you know,
everybody's got their own inner Clark Kent. You gotta disguise yourself once in a while.
Thanks so much for your time tonight, John. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime.
All the best. There he goes. Let's, Eric. Let's take one call before we go to Mr. Mimesso. We're going to go to Chris in Ville Saint-Laurent on the Kaufman Show on TSN 690. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. Listen, I look like everybody happy for the signing. The question I want to ask you guys, and if you could ask my Messi the same question, is this team in their division, Bruins, a little more talented, a little tougher? How are they going to compete with that toughness against the Bruins? Because, you know, they manhandled us the last 2-3 years when it came to the physicality. And how do you think they're going to match up now that PK's in the lineup and with some of the improvements they've made? And I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I appreciate that, Chris. And I have to say, before you do hang up, I'll just tell you, unfortunately, Mimesso's not in the lineup, which would have made it even
that
easier.
That would have helped.
That would have made it way easier. But, yeah. You know, don't forget about a signing like Brandon Prust. How that adds a little bit of an edge to this team, a physical toughness that did not exist last season.
Well, maybe if he sends a couple of those Mimesso subs over the Boston Bruins dressing room, maybe we could slow him down a bit.
I don't know. Jay had a couple tonight. He looks like he's in fine fighting form right now.
I'm ready to go. Bring him on.
Thanks for the call, Chris. So we're going to try and reach Sergio right now. This is the Kaufman Show. We are flying by the seat of our pants tonight. Mr. Farrar, you're having fun?
I'm having a great time. This is real radio.
I love it.
News and journalism, and I don't know what to do with myself over here.
Everything is happening. This is the Kaufman Show. We'll be back in a few.
This would be the best deal for not only myself, but for the Montreal Canadiens more importantly. And I think that at the end of the day, when you can leave a negotiation and both sides are happy, that's the best. You know, it's tough, very watching the home opener and watching our team, but that's okay. You know, we're moving forward, and I'm extremely anxious to get involved and help our team win a championship.
Welcome back to a very special Kaufman Show. I'm Dave Kaufman, joined by Jay Farrar. Jimmy G on the board with us now. P.K. Subban has signed a 2-year, $5.75 million deal with your Montreal Canadiens. And we're going to break it down right now with one of the greats, former Hab. He is one of the play-by-play men for the Montreal Canadiens on TSN 690. Sergio Mimesso. Hello, sir. Welcome to the program.
How's it going?
Very good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Why don't we start off with a little anecdote about how you heard the news that P.K. Subban was signed to a 2-year deal.
He looked at his phone.
Yeah, the vibration that you get when there's something sent out by the Canadians. I was a little bit late on it because we were having supper. But, hey, listen, that's good news all around for sure.
Yeah, I think everybody seems pretty happy. I haven't heard one person complaining yet, and we've been on air for almost an hour and a half.
Well, you're not going to complain. You got a piece of the puzzle that you know that down the road is going to be important for this team. And you know, the Canadians got the job done for 2 years, which is what they wanted to do, and not give the big ticket to PK right off the bat, and make him earn his years, make him earn his money when he proves himself to be one of those star players that he aspires to be. And the Canadians hope that he is that player. They want to see if he's mature and he's ready to do that job. And I think the best thing now that that PK's in the lineup is it just pushes you know, it makes the team stronger, and then it just solidifies the fact that you know, we're not going to see Gaberle in the lineup either.
Sergio, is there a certain animosity towards the better players in the room? Is that something that you ever experienced in your career, where the guy that you know is making the most money on the team is treated differently, maybe?
You know, it's always a little bit like that. I mean, I played with guys with strength in the sense of hard characters. Brett Hall comes to mind in my years in St. Louis. And listen, you know, you could be, and he was a bit cocky. He was arrogant. He didn't rub everybody the right way. But when he was on the ice, he'd score goals, and he would help you win hockey games. And if you can back it up, it's a different story. But if you talk and you can't do it, then the guys will say, well, just shut up and play. And I think, you know what? You can handle it up to a certain point as long as the player doesn't become bigger than the team. So this is kind of, you know, slow down, PK. We know you're good. Players respect the fact that you have talent. But as soon as you walk in the door, check the ego there. And now, you know, you're playing with us, and play the best that you can. And if you're great, that just makes us better. And the players have no problem with that. And it's just the fact that, you know, Marc Bergevin and Michel Therrien, who's been used to having stars in Pittsburgh, which is a good thing, how to handle up-and-coming stars, you see how the team is playing right now. You see how they're playing for each other. And, PK, you're either going to be a part of it or you're not. And I think this is where Marc Bergevin drew the line, and PK was seeing that they're having fun. They're winning. It wasn't fun last year. I traveled with the team the whole year. And besides, you know, if you take the money out of the equation, when you're losing, it's no fun. People always ask me, says, what's the best place you've played? And I said, well, I could have been playing in Los Angeles, but if we were winning, if we were losing, it wouldn't have been fun. It's not fun to lose. And the fact that they're winning now, I think he wants to be a part of it. And also the fact that, you know, he didn't really have much choice. He's a restricted free agent. He couldn't really go anywhere, and he wasn't willing to sit out the whole year. And at the end of the day, you know, he wants to play, and he's got to suck it up and come out and play and prove. And the Canadians will give you the money in a couple of years if you prove to be the player that everyone expects you to be.
Crazy to think, Sergio, isn't it, that a 2-year, almost $6 million deal is putting somebody in his place?
Well, that's the way the money is. You know what? Great. I wish I made $2 million in 48 games. It took me 12 years to make $2 million. It's totally different now, and that's the way it is. And, you know, that's just business. He'll make it later. We're not going to cry. And that's the way it is. And if he proves himself, he'll make the big cash later on in a couple of years.
Sergio, just another thing about the locker room. There is a lot of people saying that as soon as he came in, the Canadians might go on a losing. I mean, it's ridiculous what some of the people thought, because apparently they have the psychology of the room. But is the fact that he signed for much less than anybody thought, will that go over a little bit better in the locker room, do you think? I mean, coming from somebody who has that perspective.
You know what? I think the fact that if the Canadians gave in and gave him the 6 years or whatever he was wanted, the long term, I think that that would have been something that the players, maybe not the player, to the player, but maybe to the management, that said we're gonna change the attitude, we're gonna change the culture of the team now that when Marc Bergevin came here. So Marc Bergevin and Jeff Molson and they stuck to their guns the way they said, and I think the players respect that. And once you know, the first couple of days it'll be a little bit hectic when PK arrives, blah blah blah. And, you know, all the media is going to go crazy. The players will rib him a bit, no question about it. that's part of about being a player. That's part of taking the jabs in the room. Once that gets away and once you start playing down to hockey, all the guys care about, are you doing your job? I'm going to do my job. And I think, you know, that's where, you know, the guys will say, it doesn't matter. What happened, happened, before. Business is business. It's gotten done. Let's not talk about it anymore. Let's just play hockey, and we'll be judged by if we win or lose, and that's what all the people care about is wins for the Canadians.
And I think we'll be moving forward, and tomorrow night there will be that little pregame video before the team steps onto the ice, and there will be that shot of Subban, and the crowd is going to go crazy.
Well, obviously he's a PR guy, and he likes the limelight. The people like him. That's all great. The flash and dash of... Everything goes well if you're winning. So I think if he brings his A game, and you know, it'll just make the team better. And that's all the players care about, the product on the ice. All the rest of the stuff, it's all just for show.
Sergio, you're working the game tomorrow night?
Yes, I am.
Looking forward to hearing you and Mr. Bartlett on TSN 690.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for your time. Have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
There he goes, Sergio Mimesso on the Kaufman Show. Nicely done, Mr. Ferrar.
There you have it. There
well,
you have it.
Well done, Jim.
It's great to get a player's perspective about that, because I got into an argument with somebody about that, and they were saying, well, you know, if he comes back and he signs for a big contract, you know, they could easily go on a 5-game losing streak. I don't know how you could say that. And if you do, what kind of a team are you? What kind of a team are you that the turn of one guy can send your entire season down the drain? Yeah, I mean, get it together, boys. I mean, I'm not saying it's never happened.
Conversely, Jay, if this was a... If PK signs and the team goes on a 5-game winning streak, it means about the same thing. This is about the long game. This is not about today or tomorrow or the 4 games that were played without him.
Yeah.
Let's go to Lance in Beaconsfield, and then we'll take a break for a sports update. Hello, Lance.
Hi. I'd just like to make a point.
Sure.
You know, last game, first of all, Canadians last year were in last place, as we all know. They're a last place team. There's 5 new additions to the team this year, and that's important. Last night against New Jersey, 3 posts were hit, 2 by Kovalchuk, 1 by Zajac.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many times that, I don't know if you noticed these things, I'm sure the coaches did, where they kept the play in the Canadian zone for over a minute and bombed their net. The Canadians are not strong defensively without PK. He was averaging 30 minutes a game. He's an elite defenseman. I think they'll do much better when he's back in the long term. The other thing is that long-term, I would have signed him to a long-term contract. It's going to cost him a lot more money down the road. He's an elite player. Say what you want about him, but he was 30 minutes a game. He was the only Canadian defenseman who by himself can bring the puck out of the zone through guys. There's very few guys who can do that. His numbers comparatively offensively are equal in his first 2 years to some of the best defensemen who've ever played. He was evaluating himself properly. Plus, he was playing against the other team's top line most of the time, which makes those numbers to me even better. So I think it's good that they signed him, but it's going to cost them a lot more money down the road. And I know they didn't want to make an example of him being unique or special, but he is. And that's my comments.
Great points, Lance. I agree with most of them. I'm with you. I thought that it should have been a long-term deal, mainly because I think it shows disrespect when you think about how much he has put into this, how
right.
much on the ice, off the ice, doesn't matter. The guy loves being here, loves playing here, loves wearing the uniform. And frankly, I get excited.
And it shows.
I get excited seeing a guy from Toronto say all those things.
Yeah, and you know what? As for it costing the franchise a little bit more money, if he rips it up for the next 2 years, nobody's going to complain about them giving him $5-6 million a year. Nobody's going to say anything if he becomes a legitimate all-star.
Sorry, Jay. Jimmy, whatever you were going to say to me there, why don't you say it into the mic? Whatever it was, everybody can hear it.
I really want to know what that was.
Yeah,
right
me too.
Now.
All right, play us a song, play us out. We're going to come back. We're going to speak with Brian Wilde. We're going to speak with Francois Gagnon. We're going to take your calls. We could fill up those phone lines if you want. Everything is happening.
Everything is happening.
Back to hour two of the Kaufman Show. I'm Dave Kaufman with Jay Farrar. Jimmy G is on the board, and we could not get enough of him in the first hour, so we're going to bring Brian Wilde back on for a little more love on the Kaufman Show.
I thought Jimmy G. I thought we didn't get enough of Jimmy G. Well, he wasn't on in the first hour.
Well, that is true, but we take Jimmy for granted, so perhaps more than we should. But in the meantime, let's welcome back Brian Wilde to the program. Hello, sir.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How's CAA treating you tonight?
Well, we've already done the toe, and now we're walking the dogs, believe it or not.
Oh, goodness. Well,
yeah, Deborah thinks I'm a little bit frantic, but I feel sharp as a tack here.
Nothing like a big news night to get you going, and I'd imagine
exactly.
And a car accident, well, apparently.
And an accident, and the frivolity that was that press conference, the Barnum and Bailey show of chickens, dogs, cats, and Caroline Van Vlaar. That was hilarious.
Weren't you happy that wasn't your voiceover in the middle of that?
Oh, my God, was I ever happy, because the whole time I'm thinking, what the hell is this? And I'm already blaming like 16 different people except our station.
Right.
And then when it's Caroline Van Vlaar again, CTV News, it's like, oh, no, it's us. It's us. Yeah. I phone Randy. He goes, I put a note on the door.
See, I wonder who, though. I didn't catch that it was Caroline's voice. I don't know her voice. Like, if it was you doing it, I would have been like, oh, my God, it's Brian. I got to turn it down.
No, she signed off for everybody to hear.
I know. But for the first minute and a half, everybody was just wondering who it was.
I know. And then there was another guy that had his whole family.
Right.
Right? And there was, I swear to God, there was another guy who had a chicken.
And usually those aren't aired live, and
exactly.
I guess we know why.
And there's the reason, because they are dirty. And you know what? They're always dirty like that. I haven't heard a clean one of those ever. And the real miracle is that Caroline, and I'm not suggesting she's not good, but you know how when you're just doing an audio take and you've got 15 chances to get it right?
Sure.
And you mess up after take three? What usually leaves your mouth? Right? Ah, fire! So we actually got really lucky, because if she would have messed up and started swearing a blue streak, then we would have really heard some live radio.
That would have made the PK newser, that would have been infamous. That would have...
You would have needed more than a 7-second delay. You would have needed a 30-second delay and then a 7-day license renewal issue.
Oh, and after all we've been through, that would not have been a fun thing to deal with.
No, it would not. It was like, yeah, should we go live? Answer, no. No, we should not, because Caroline's going in the booth, making a mistake, and starts swearing.
Brian?
No, we actually got pretty lucky there.
And in the 45 minutes since we last spoke, my friend, I think we've gotten 39,000 positive phone calls, tweets, texts, faxes, pigeon carriers, and I think the negativity is at what, minus eight right now? Nobody seems to be complaining.
I know, and you know what? That's the amazing thing. I talked to a lot of people when the lockout was going on. I'm never going to another game. And I kept saying, you know what? You got about 5 minutes to be angry, and then he goes, come on, Habs, go, and it's the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah. PK's selfish. No, he's not. He's the greatest. PK, love you. it's completely normal.
Maybe I closed my ears to it, but I didn't hear any of the PK is selfish. I found that to be a very, that was the minority, I felt, and maybe that was just leftover anger towards management.
You know, it's hard to gauge because I do a lot of the gauging of what the public feels. I do a lot of that based on Twitter. And I think in the world, when someone agrees with you, they kind of go, yeah, I agree with that. And that's it. When someone disagrees with you, then they go, well, that be wild CTV, that guy, I just never agree with him. I got to tell him. So, you know, that's why I think. I think when people don't have anything bad to say, they just keep it to themselves. And when they do have something bad to say, sometimes they let it out. So I think maybe there's a perception sometimes it's worse than it is.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to look at it.
How's my breath holding out while I walk the dog? Does it sound panty yet?
No panting. Okay. No panting. Just keep...
No, I said, did it sound panty?
Panty, I know, I'm saying, I hear no...
Don't try to save me, I wanted to say panty.
Brian, I hear no panties, okay?
You know what? I'm on for the wrong hour. I should be on at midnight. This accident has made me giddy.
Okay.
Well, between the accident and the signing and the kids being told they're staying up for the year...
panties.
You know what? We haven't even talked about that. We haven't even talked about that.
The kids staying up for the year.
It was. Hey, I mean, it wasn't just PK. It was the galleys too.
Yeah, and you know what? The first thing I thought was, are they going to stay in your basement like Joseph Kearns?
That's right. Josh Georges took them up, but Brian offered to everyone. Hey, galley, you know an instrument? Hey, Chucky, can you play the guitar?
You can play the cajon at the
Hang
next big McLean's party.
Anybody can play the cajon. Hang on to my No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
But the kids, I mean, and I love that I call them the kids, but frankly, compared to me, they are children.
Well, they are kids. I mean, they're kids for sure. I mean, he's 18 years old. I asked myself today, when's the last time an 18-year-old made the team? And I still haven't done the homework to know the answer. But, I mean, it's been a long, long time. I think Peter Svoboda, actually, from, you know, whatever year that was.
Wow. That was the magic draft. Wasn't that 84 or 86?
Yeah.
84.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it. I was going to say 84, I think, and I didn't want to, you know, step out on the limb. But, yeah, I think you got it.
Good.
So, I mean, what this kid has done here is just incredible.
Well, isn't he the first?
Give me 2 seconds. I'm the first guy ever on your radio show to actually complete picking up poop.
That's not true.
Not metaphorically.
Yeah.
First, right?
It's not true.
Good one, Dave.
We've had people,
not metaphorically. No, awesome
yeah.
show. Literally.
Yeah. We've had people pick it up, and we've had people throw it at us as well. So.
No, it's good. That was Scooter, and that's the first time for him.
Well, good. I'm
good
sure our audience is happy to hear that.
He's made the big club. We're going to keep him with Gallagher and Galchenyuk.
No, but I mean, what this kid's done at 18, and you know what? I thought to myself that he's not going to make the team because they'd rather not him make the team unless it's just so obvious that you can't hold him back. And that's what happened in the end. You couldn't hold him back. He was just too good. There were times in the game last night that he was just too good. When you're the best player on the ice for a shift, and then another shift, and then you're used with 6 minutes left, and then the coach puts you out with 4 minutes left in the game, and it's 3-3, and it's the Devils, who are a very good team, and you can do all that. Man, you got to play hockey in the NHL. There's nothing left to learn, sorry, you.
Oh.
And not just this year, next year.
Right.
Yeah. All that
he's in Sarnia next year.
He wasn't playing the power play much, and he's only getting an average of 12 minutes per game. Imagine when he's out there for 22, 23 minutes.
Well, give it time.
When he's ready to take those minutes. For sure.
And that's, I think, is something that the fan base is going to have to get used to, is that, yes, this is the heir apparent, but he needs to be treated with kid gloves. This is a long process. We want Galchenyuk to be on this team and be the star of this team for a long time. There will be some baby steps. There have to be. He's going to scrape his knees along the way.
But what's good about that moment when he does
and when there are baby steps and when maybe things are going too well and his ego gets a little big. This kid is grounded. In fact, Brendan Gallagher is grounded too. They're just great kids. And they've earned the respect in the room. Michelle Therrien has mentioned that a lot, how they've earned the respect in the room by just going about their business. Josh Georges was asked today, what are some of the things you like? And he talked about poise and patience. And he also said they just both kind of shut up, you know, soak it in, learn. And, you know, when you got the respect of the room already after a week, 2 weeks, that's fantastic.
Yeah, but after a week of Gallagher leaving the toilet seat up, let's see what he's saying.
Yeah, when they live together now? Yeah, absolutely. They've been having some fun on Twitter about that today, ripping each other about being roomies.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to need some close-ups of them on the bench this year at the Bell Center with the Odd Couple theme playing in the background.
Yeah, that's good. I'll tell you what, though, what a day for this franchise and what a day for Mark, what a year for Mark Bergevin.
It's as if
I mentioned.
Well, in 12 hours, it's as if Bergevin has solidified himself and removed
yes,
all doubt.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't have any before. I had very, very little. But, yeah, I agree. There's no doubt. I mean, this was just an outstanding hire. And just, I mean, imagine where we were 1 year ago, this franchise.
Oh, man, were we bad.
Yeah, 1 year ago. The Montreal Canadiens had just lost Brian Gionta. The season was obviously over. Randy Cunningworth was embroiled. Pierre Gauthier was embroiled. Thomas Cabernet had a belly. The third and fourth lines were atrocious. And, you know, they were the American Hockey League. As soon as they went out, because there were so many injuries,
mm-hmm.
as soon as they went out, you knew the Habs were in trouble. The first line was clicking. Thomas Tanitz was playing with Louis LeBlanc, maybe. You know, who knew who he was playing with for night to night? It was such a tough year for him. And you contrast that with the back six right now. Man, the back six went from the American Hockey League to two lines you could rely on. Gallagher, Galchenyuk, Prost, Armstrong, Moen, and White. Not even close to the same.
No, it's crazy to think
so
that.
So drastically. Well, and that's just the back two lines. The second line, Plekanec now at Mates to play with. It's just phenomenal. Just
you sound like you're
that
in
alone.
Shock.
And then I haven't even mentioned Markov. You got to mention Markov, too, of course. I mean, here's the guy who's got four goals already. Game winners all over the time, all over the place, overtimes. Okay, I'm in the house.
Well, I kept trying to jump in, but I felt like you were in a bit of a moment
yeah,
there.
He was. Talking about Markov.
Brian just got really excited, I have to say. And it's great to listen to you talk about the Canadiens, Brian, because obviously you're a journalist and you're piped in and you are impartial, but you can tell that you're a hockey fan, and the passion is just so obvious when you talk about it.
Let me explain it this way, because I get this question a lot. Eh? Are you a fan? And we all get this question a lot. We've been doing it a lot of years. And the thing you are a fan of is your better life. When the Montreal Canadiens suck, time passes, and then so does your life. Because they're losing every day, and on the street every day, there's so much disappointment, and everybody's asking you, and that brings you down. And then you go to talk to the guys in the room, and they look at you like, you know, that's an okay guy, that guy. But do I have to talk to him? Because this is going to be negative. And we suck, and that means that eventually, you know, what he has to ask me is going to suck. And everything is so down. Beer sales are down at the Bell Center, and as a result, everybody you talk to is not really having as much fun either. And no one is having fun. And then the real thing, the bottom line thing, is whether you're a fan or not, and you're a fan of your better life, is this one, the playoffs. When the Montreal Canadiens make the playoffs, I go to Pittsburgh, I go to Philadelphia, I go to Boston, I go to Carolina, I go to Tampa Bay. Those are some of the places I've been in the last decade. I'm a fan of my better life.
And I'm reminded now of the last time you were in studio and we were talking about covering little Timmy the fencer in, you know, Longueuil.
That's right.
you know, God bless Timmy. He's taken a lot of crap from me.
He has poop thrown at him as well.
Yeah, but that's why he learned how to fence. He can defend himself.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right. And Taekwondo. Little Bobby.
Well, yeah, and it sure beats covering Little Bobby in Taekwondo when you can go to the quarterfinals
even though, you know,
to the semifinals.
Don't get me wrong. That was great.
Sure.
Too. But, you know, when I had a dream of, you know, working in the National Hockey League as a sports reporter because I wasn't talented enough to play in it or do the sports reporting job, it probably didn't stop at Little Timmy and made it to Big PK.
Sure.
So, yeah. So, no, this is better.
And I think a lot of people, no matter what profession they're in or walk of life they've chosen, live a little bit vicariously through these guys.
Yeah, sure they do. But I never feel like it ever affects my hope for the results. I just always feel like it affects my hopes for my more enjoyable life. And when they're doing well, it's a more enjoyable life. However, it has it's hard to explain, but it never affects the way I cover it.
Fair enough. And no matter how wonderful the life is, there's, I guess, the lesson to be learned is there's always going to be dog poop to be picked up, right?
That's right. Absolutely. And car accidents. And, yeah. But what a great day for the organization today.
Well, I'm happy
What a great day. And what a great start. And you know what? All of the guys that were working hard over the offseason and just planning for this, Terry and Bergevin, even moving it down to Hamilton and saying Hamilton is going to play a certain style. And whenever we call up a guy from Hamilton, he's going to be playing the same style, and he's going to have the same playbook as when he comes to Montreal, so he's not overwhelmed by learning a whole new system. He just comes here, and he fits right in. I mean, is this just an organization right now for Marc Bergevin?
Much happier times.
They just got it figured out. I mean, and you know what? We're always crediting Bergevin. We're crediting Therrien. We're crediting the organization. But you know whose name we always forget to mention?
Who?
Jeff Molson. He had some very hard decisions to make. He had to realize that Pierre Gauthier was not the man, that he just was not making smart decisions. And then when he took it upon himself to realize that big changes had to be made and the GM had to be fired, there's only one guy that can do that, and that's an owner. And then he says to himself, but I'm just Jeff Molson. And then he goes and finds Serge Savard, who's not interested in being a GM anymore, but knows the game, knows what it takes. When he listens to a GM Perspective One talk, he knows what that sounds like. So he trusts in a guy who's been there before, been in the GM position, won cups, and he trusts in that guy, and they develop a partnership with each other that lasts only a short time, but they make all of the right decisions in finding this guy. And I was a Pierre Maguire guy, if anybody remembers back. That it was he who I thought should get the job. And I'm still a Pierre Maguire guy, but there's no way I will provide for you an ounce of criticism that Marc Bergevin has not been the perfect choice for this organization, because he has done nothing wrong. And in the world of this sports reporting, there are always comparisons. And it always seems like when you compare one over the other that you're weakening one position and strengthening another. And in this case, I'm not. I'm providing you two guys that I think are strong. And the second guy is doing an amazing job. And I still hope that the other guy gets his chance one day to prove he can do it too.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I was also in the Maguire camp, but
yeah.
I mean, we can't fault Bergevin right now.
Just because, yeah, no, I mean, that's just pigheaded and stupid to
right.
just sit there. And I was in the Maguire camp, so Bergevin can't do right things. And that's dumb.
Right. There's nothing wrong with admitting that people who sometimes make decisions make them right. And just because mm-hmm. you were on the wrong side of history doesn't mean you can't support the way that things go forward. This isn't politics.
Well said.
We're allowed to change our minds.
Well, you know what? I don't even know. I don't even know if I've changed my mind. I've added to my mind.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
And I still believe Pierre Maguire is going to be a good GM, but there's no way I can offer any criticism to Marc Bergevin, who's been, frankly, I can't even think of a minor thing that hasn't gone right. I mean, look at draft day. I mean, just saying, okay, Trevor, this is your ballywick. Go for it. This is what you do. This is what you've been doing for over a decade. Go, Trevor. Go get me great guys.
Brian, we really appreciate your time. I know that my audience greatly appreciates this time.
Oh, good.
Everybody in the city is a big fan of yours, and I know we wish we could hear you more often on this station.
Well, so, you know what? I'm hoping the day comes when you find yourself in this time slot all the time. And then I'll be there for you.
Well, if you can, I will.
It's just that other one. My wife just goes, Brian, you have no idea how loud you talk.
Brian, your wife is the anchor for the CBC Evening News. She does not sound like that.
I didn't know you were married to Julia Child.
put the butter in the lamb.
Oh, God.
Soak the butter in the lamb.
Pick up the poop.
Put the lamb in the oven.
All right, gentlemen.
Sorry.
I'm going to cut this one off right here.
You can't get us two together.
We've got to take a news break, and then we're going to come back and speak with Francois Gagnon, and we will get you and Francois in studio soon. Brian Wilde, thank you so much.
Julia Childs is going to be listening to Francois.
Good night, Brian.
Okay, good night.
Thank you so much. This is the Kaufman Show. P.K. Subban signs a 2-year deal. And suddenly, baseball doesn't exist.
The king's taken back the throne. The useless see the sun. When they say they're cutting off the throne, they tell me you're not home. No place to hide. You're fighting as a soldier on their side. You're still a soldier in your mind, still nothing's on the line. Say it's money that we need, as if we're only mouths to feed. I know no matter what you say.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar here with you. Ginger Heat tweeting at us, that was brutal, entertaining, and awesome. Referring to our conversation with Brian Wilde.
That's exactly what we want to come across as.
Brutal, entertaining, and awesome. We appreciate that. Thank you for listening, Brad. You know, I feel like we've given the pretty, we've been mean tonight, Jay. And frankly, 2 weeks in a row that I've done this to one of our guests. He's turning into, if this was Jimmy Kimmel, he would be Matt Damon.
Just keep putting him off, yeah.
John Mallow is an infielder on Team Canada for the 2013 World Baseball Classic, which will be starting up in March. And I had a very nice conversation with him last week that got bumped. And you know what, Jay? It's getting bumped again.
Yeah, well.
So next week we will be, our apologies to Matt Damon. He will be with us next week.
Tell him to hold out on a contract, and then when he finally signs it, we'll bring him on.
Also with us next week on the program will be the rivalry guy. And very briefly for about, we got a minute here, but Jason Portnoy from True Rivalry is in studio. Good friend of the show. If you don't know True Rivalry, TrueRivalry.com, one of the best darn sports apparel especially T-shirts out there. Some of my favorites. I know Jay loses like 30 pounds when he puts on a True Rivalry shirt. It's pretty impressive.
That's right. That's right.
And Jay, it's great
to
have you.
That's why I need
here.
About 6 more of them, my friend. 6 more.
Good to be here. Listen, last time I was on, we talked about this again, and I got a lot of lawsuits saying that, you know, advertising that I make people lose weight, this can't go on.
It's no less effective than some of the other dietary plans.
You look darn good in the shirts, but we can't guarantee that you lose 30 pounds.
God bless you. You keep it up.
You will look good. We could guarantee that.
So True Rivalry has a new mascot called the Rivalry Guy. And starting next week, the Rivalry Guy, who you can follow on Twitter at Rivalry Guy, will be chirping at the Kaufman Show. And as you can see, check out the feed on Twitter, Jay. You should start following it. Consider it
mandatory. Rivalry Guy?
Rivalry Guy.
At Rivalry Guy?
It's a mystery. We don't know who it is, but he represents all sports fans, and we think that'll be a great fit for the Kaufman Show. So, Jason, we're so sorry that we dragged you down here for nothing tonight.
For nothing? I got to hang out with you guys. What are you talking about?
Oh, you're so sweet.
He's seconds closer to getting my phone number. It's awesome what he's doing.
You can also keep those headphones on and take a listen while we bring in our next guest, who is the hockey writer for La Presse. He's a good friend of the show. We were going to have him in when the show was starting at 11 o'clock. He was going to be joined in studio by his partner in crime, Brian Wilde, but we'll do that another time. Right now we've got Francois Gagnon all to ourselves on the Kaufman Show. Bonsoir, Francois.
Bonsoir. If that's a T-shirt, if I look better in that T-shirt, I want to buy a case.
Well, a case. Yeah. Wow.
Just out of curiosity here, how many cases how many T-shirts in a case?
How many T-shirts in a case? Francois, we could work that deal out later, but you know we have you on record now saying that you're ordering a case of T-shirts, right?
Well, only if you can assure me that it's going to make me look better.
Look better, for sure. Make you lose weight, can't guarantee, but definitely make you look better.
I think that's Francois fine. Must have signed a PK Subban-style contract today.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's a great day for the Canadians, and I still think it's a really good day for PK Subban, even though he was looking to get a much longer and a much richer deal. And I'm convinced, and I'm sorry I was not chum, so I could not hear all the calls that you had in the last hour. But I'm convinced that even there are some fans of PK that will say that he got shortchanged over this deal. I disagree with them because we have to remember that with all the, all what PK did in the last two seasons, he only has 160 games behind him. And, that transition contract will serve him a lot better than if he would have signed a long-term deal for, let's say, a 6 years and $30 million deal. That would have put so much more pressure on him that I think that he could have felt shortchanged over this. Now, he can come up, be part of this team, play the way he did, and get better and better every year. And that huge contract, he's going to get it in 2 years.
Francois, this was your line of thought from the start, wasn't it?
It was, and I can assure you that I got a lot of heat over Twitter and in the last month or so over this. But, it made sense for me. It made sense for the Canadians, especially for Marc Bergevin, who said, I have a financial structure that I want to respect. And for him, it was obvious that if Carey Price and Max Pacioretty went through transition contracts of 2 years before getting the long-term deals that they signed last summer, it was obvious for me that he would like to do the same thing with PK. My biggest concern over this was, what if the Canadians start 0-5 and the pressure comes, so much impossible to bear that Marc Bergevin cave? And I think that would have been the worst scenario possible because, yes, PK would have won on the money aspect of the contract, but on the other hand, it would have been a big turmoil over him when he would come into the ice and into the dressing room. And we all know the situation here. And PK is not a bad guy at all. And there's no hatred toward PK. He's just flamboyant a little bit more than some veterans would like. And to understand that reality with a contract like the one that he signed today will help him a lot to get his grounds stronger in the room and on the ice.
Francois, do you think that there's a certain amount of, the only time I've ever heard of it in this city was with Gary Carter, where there was a palpable dislike of a player in the dressing room because he was making substantially more money than the rest of the team.
And had a little bit of flash, too, bit of swagger.
And I bring up Gary Carter because, frankly, PK Subban is the only player, professional athlete in the city, that I've ever heard compared to Gary Carter in the way that the fans have embraced him. And I'm wondering if there's something similar to the way that the players didn't embrace Carter and the way that the players aren't embracing Subban.
Well, it's an interesting comparison. You remember correctly, Carter, because of your love for the Expos and especially for Gary Carter, too. But, Gary Carter was able to back that up. And I think that the similarity in those two cases was that Gary Carter was not trying to be a smart ass, if I can say that in English. I'm sorry, it was a bad word. But
you can absolutely say it. Brian Wilde was picking up dog poop during the last segment. Come on.
Okay, perfect. So, if Brian Wilde can do it, I sure can. Gary was not trying to be, bigger than the team. He was a nice guy. He was flamboyant. He was taking a lot of space. But on the other hand, he was not a bad person. He was not doing that to go on the, to hurt the players around him or to put them in his own shadow. And on the field, he was backing everything up. And I don't think that that PK is malicious the way he does things. I think he's only PK Subban. That's the way he is. And he needs to understand that sometimes he can rubber some people on the wrong side. And for me, I think that this contract, the transition contract, will be huge for him on the maturity aspect of the game, of the monetary aspect, of the of his discipline on the ice and off the ice. And I think he will be, he will gain a lot more in that transition contract than he would have, even though he would have signed a long-term deal for a lot more money.
We're in conversation with François Gagnon from La Presse on the Kauffman Show. Follow him on Twitter at Gagnon François. François, this wasn't the only big news coming out of the Canadiens camp today. Of course, this morning they told both Galchenyuk and Gallagher that they would be staying with the team for the rest of the year. This is arguably the biggest 12 hours that the Habs have seen in a long time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's a great move. And, you know, we've talked about that for many times, and I am not a big fan of taking those 18 and 19 years old guys and put them in the NHL right away. I'm more on the side of the Detroit Red Wings, who make sure that a guy stays 100, 200 games in the minors before making the step to the NHL. But in this case, considering the Canadiens were finished 15th last year, considering that Marc Bergevin was bright, a very bright move to push aside Scott Gomez early on in training camp so that those kids would not have to take the space of a friend of other veterans into the room, which had made that situation a lot tougher than it was. I think that was a great move, and they gave the occasion to those two kids to prove themselves. I am convinced, and I know for a fact, that they were not guaranteed a space in Montreal to start the year or even to end the season with the team. They had to convince everybody, starting by themselves, and I think they were able to do that in the first four games. And they did brilliantly, because that line has been the best, if not the second best, of the Canadiens since the start of the season.
François, knowing that these three guys are going to be with the team from, let's say, games five through the end of the season, how does that shift your expectations?
Oh, you know what? That's interesting. I didn't put the Canadiens in the playoff at the start of the season. I put them in a group of three, four teams that would fight for that eighth and final spot. That means that they could finish 9, 10th, 11th at 2 or 3 points of the playoff. And now I would need to put them a little bit further up, maybe a couple of points inside the playoff instead of being outside looking in. And for me, that's a big, big difference. Because when you look at this team, you know, even though PK has his flaws, this team is way better with him into the lineup than with Cavalier in the lineup, or even with Weber in the lineup. So, you know, it's a big addition to the team. Now, will he be the only one that's going to take this team better? No, because we are rediscovering Andrei Markov, who missed the last two seasons. And, you know, I got a lot of heat in the last 2 weeks saying that Markov, in my mind, is still the number one defenseman of the Canadiens, but he is proving that to be a fact. And there's nothing wrong for PK to be the number two defenseman on this team now. He's going to be the number one in the short future. So I think that they have many more elements. They are playing a lot more as a group, as a team, than they were under maybe Jacques Martin, and certainly after that under Randy Kenilworth. And the spirit of the team is so much better this season than last year that all those intangibles are favoring the Canadiens to get inside looking out instead of finishing outside looking in.
So two columns in La Presse tomorrow, or one that you had to rework after the new signing?
You know what? I had to flush completely the first one, because my first one was on the 75th victory of Tiger Woods,
right,
because he amazed me over the weekend the way he was able to miss shot and keep his confidence and make the big play to, or the big shot to come back into play and to transform a possible boogie, which would have been the case last year because he was getting down after a bad shot, and he was transforming that to a birdie and many pars after some bad driving. And for me, that was the biggest news of the day on the sports scene until the news of the PK contract that was signed for 3 years and $5.75 million.
Yeah, but outside of Chez Nous, it still is the biggest sports story, I'd imagine.
I would think so, but hey, we're in Montreal. Chez Nous is Chez Nous. And the Canadiens are way up there at top of the list, and hockey is big, so we have to give him all the credit that is due. And, you know, I'm happy. And if I can point this, I don't know how I can phrase this to make sure that everybody will understand me. It's not because I was confident that a two-year deal was best for PK and for the Canadians, that I don't like PK. I don't understand why sometimes on sensible issues, it's either that you like the guy or that you don't like the guy. And it's not a question that I didn't like the guy. I didn't feel that he deserved a 5 or 6 year contract at $5 million a year. And I still don't believe that he deserved that yet. And he will be able to prove on that 2 year deal all the good that he can do on the ice. He will get better. And for him, he's going to get a lot more money if his, if he becomes the defenseman that we all think that he can be. He will manage to get more money in 2 years than he would have done so now if he would have played hardball with the Canadiens.
A year and a half to prove not only Monsieur Gagnon, but most importantly, Monsieur Bergevin.
That's exactly it. And Marc Bergevin, like Michel Therrien, they heard a lot of things about PK. They want to see from themselves. They want to know if they can find a way to bring him to a more mature approach of the game. And if they do so, PK will be better. The Montreal Canadiens will be better. Fans will be happy, and we will need, as reporters, to find something else to critic because, you know, a PK Subban playing the way he can play, bringing to the ice what he can bring, getting the fans on their feet, everything's going to be perfect for him, but he needs to get to the other step, and he's not there yet.
It's Montreal, Francois. We will find something to complain about, I'm sure.
You know what? I'm convinced about that, too.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it, and we'll catch up soon.
Yeah, perfect. And I'll get with Brian anytime, whenever you guys want to have a nice debate between two of us.
The door is always open to you and Brian.
Perfect.
Thank you, Francois.
Thanks a lot.
There he goes, Francois Gagnon. Follow him on Twitter, Gagnon Francois. Read his stuff in La Presse.
Approximately 1 hour ago, PK Subban tweeted simply, hashtag GoHabsGo.
Well, good to know he remembers who he plays for.
Well, he better now.
Jay, we're going to take a break. Maybe we'll take a couple of calls. Then we're going to say goodnight.
Yeah. Nothing happening tonight, huh?
No, it's a boring night in the world.
Everything.
Of
I don't want to wonder if this is a blunder. I don't want to worry whether we're going to stay together till we die.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Noted Habs fan Paul Langlois bringing us in there. You might know him from that other band he plays in. The Tragically Hip, I think they're called.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
I feel like we should just do like a soft close right now. Like our normal soft opening did not happen.
Right.
Welcome to the Kaufman Show. Hey, Jay. How's your week?
How are you, Dave?
I'm good, well. Man. I haven't had good. A second to breathe since I got into studio tonight.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Things are great. I love when news breaks and when we're on air.
We're just running
so
around
awesome.
The studio, text
it's
messages,
so much fun.
Phones going crazy. There's a lot of multitasking here. I don't think people understand. Dave's a master at it. You're actually really good at that.
Thank you, sir. Rod Francis in Rod We Trust, the producer extraordinaire on Melnick in the Afternoon, called my cell phone at 7:20, 7:30 tonight and said, you know, there's some news breaking. If you want to come in early, you're more than welcome to. So it's a pleasure. It's always a wonderful honor to be on air with all of you, no matter what time we're on. The Kaufman Show is always, Jay and I will always drag our butts over to 1310 Green Avenue and come on air. And we've got a few more calls. We'll run through the calls. You can fill up the lines if you want, 514-790-1660, 1-866-896-2546. We'll take your calls. We'll exchange a few pleasantries, and then we'll play some Plaskett and go to bed. Let's go to Andrew, the chef in Montebello. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
You sound so, like, this is what happens when the Kaufman Show's on before 11, right? You sound like you're wide awake right now.
like, no, seriously, dude, I'm at work and all this starts going on. It's a Kaufman. I said, what is he doing on at this hour? I'm at work, can't actually sit back and enjoy it. But luckily enough, we'll keep this on for a little while, and it's all great news.
Yeah, I haven't heard one complaint yet. It's just been the happiest radio show I've ever done in my life.
And, I mean, it's all for good reason. This Mark Belgevin guy, I don't want this to sound like a man crush or anything, but seriously, from the very, very first day that I saw the individual on the TV screen, he oozes confidence. Whether it be self-confidence, he could be a general in an army, and people would just line up to serve behind him and go to the wall for this guy. And I don't think that this was real. A lot of people say this was hardballing by the Habs and stuff like that. I'm not even quite sure if PK wasn't actually sitting back a little bit and saying, how are these new guys going to actually run this place where I'm going to supposed to go and play maybe for the rest of my career if I'm really lucky? Because he saw a lot of monkey business going on before that in a very, very short period of time. Not the greatest thing for a young athlete to get into an organization where you don't know if when your head's up.
Yeah, but Shep, throughout all of it, he always professed his love for the city and for the jersey.
That is not what I'm trying exactly to say that. Maybe it's coming off the wrong way. I think he was actually praying and hoping, and right now he actually sees where this team is to a point where I'll take less money for a couple of years knowing because of everything that was done in the past to the Habs, money-wise, that they actually can't jump through hoops right now and give them the big package. As Brian Wilde said so well, and what a courageous guy to come in and do everything he did tonight. There's going to be more money for everybody eventually, very, very soon. And if he can actually understand that and see that this team is actually really in the right direction, people are being held accountable. It's been a short period of time. I understand that. It's a small sample size. But, I mean, Caberly's not playing, and it's not because he got a puck in the face. Give me a break. I mean, and there's other guys who know right.
That's right. He's not skating with his face. Come on.
The worst part is that Michel Therrien said that he's able to play. We just choose to bench him. He didn't actually say that, but it kind of came off that way because he did mention that Caberly, yeah, he could play, but we want to be a little bit precautious.
Yeah, and I understand that. I think if it was Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals and Caberly was relevant, he would be playing.
Right.
And because it's Game 5 of the regular season and he's the bottom of the depth chart, let that face heal a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Make sure you're completely prepared to come back. And let's hope it doesn't take a little stint in Hamilton before you're ready to come back. But if it happens to, that'd be terrible. But just, it's all good stuff. It's great to hear. It gives me that little warm, fuzzy feeling that I haven't had in a really, really long time. And I know it's only 4 games in. Things are going very well. We could go on a 6-game losing streak and all hell will break loose. But let's ride the wave that we possibly can.
And if they do, we'll be here next Monday to pick up the pieces.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Seriously, I really have a good feeling. I mean, not Stanley Cup stuff and stuff like that, but I mean, just a very good young team in development on the right direction with some good veterans, and let's hope it all can come through.
Great call as always, Chef. Thank you so much.
Thanks, boys.
Have a wonderful week.
You too, bud.
Let's keep these phone calls coming. 514-790-1690, 1-866-896-2546. Wow, it's John in Denver. Hello, John.
Gentlemen, it's been a while.
It has. How are you?
I am well. Just got back from California. Actually was able to catch some of the early rounds at Torrey Pines today, which was interesting.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we had a meeting in San Diego and figured since they were leak in and take a peek.
Well, that's pretty neat. I have to say, I sense a direct correlation. You haven't called us since before the election, and as we all know, you're from Denver, Colorado, and I just figured that they legalized marijuana in Colorado, and you're like, that's it, I'm not calling the Kaufman Show anymore.
No, that's it, I can't call the Kaufman Show anymore.
Nah, it's almost legal here. It has been legalized, but not for another 6 months before it goes into effect.
Like you care.
So you have to still be careful.
Yeah.
So I still have to pretend that I'm not now.
So
I had a couple things to talk about.
Yeah, what's up?
First of all, my abs are getting pounded right now.
Yeah, well, I watched the Sharks game on Saturday afternoon, I guess it was.
Literally getting pounded.
Where your captain took quite the beating.
Yeah, that play bothered me.
And then came back. Which is the most ridiculous part.
And now he's out for a while.
Exactly.
Because he pushed it too quick.
Yeah, but is that the fault of the player, or is the onus on the training staff to say
I'm not even sure. I have no idea what happened in that game. I mean, part of me says that was a dirty hit because you see the elbow coming out after the hit, but there's no evidence of it actually hitting him flush. I mean, there's no perfect angle that shows him getting hit flush with that elbow.
But the thing is, when Landeskog got hit, he was obviously in a lot of discomfort, had to be helped off the ice. And the start of the second period, he got injured in the first period, the start of the second period, and you can hear the Avalanche broadcasters celebrating, giddy. Their voices go up several decibels because because he's back on the bench and they can't believe it. And, oh, our fortune. I think we all need to sit back and maybe realize this is the start of the season. These guys are probably playing on adrenaline right now more than anything else. And we're going to see some, you know, we were worried about groin injuries, but right here, we're right back with these head injuries.
Yeah, it's a shame. I have no idea how you fix the head, targeting the head. I mean, hockey's a fast enough sport that even just a slight bob to the right and a adjustment made by the defenseman could literally knock somebody's head off. Well, figuratively knock somebody's head off.
Well, right, or you throw a guy into a stanchion, right?
Or you throw him into a stanchion, Ryan Smith. They've tried changing it with the rounded boards, but, I mean, honestly, what are you going to do? Guys just keep getting bigger, faster, and stronger, and it's just a matter of time. Same with the NFL. I believe it was Bernard Pollard who came out today saying something similar, that somebody's going to die on a football field.
Yeah, well, we spoke with Thomas Jones on the show last week.
And I heard that, and that was a great interview.
Thank you. Thank you. It was fat. I hope more people will hear that. I hope it gets retweeted, and I hope more people hear about just what these football players are dealing with, because it's a weird mix. And I imagine it's the same with hockey, where you know that you're doing something if you're a hitter, any position you play except for kicker in football. But
I was a kicker in football. That probably explains a
kickers
lot.
Kickers will speak when spoken to, John. Come on.
I do have one football-related comment for you fine people of Montreal.
Sure.
Do not let Dan Hawkins anywhere near your Alouettes.
I don't know who that is. Should I?
He's a rumored candidate for your head coaching position. He was a coach at the University of Colorado.
There you go.
And
okay.
Drove us into the ground.
What was the name again?
Dan Hawkins.
Dan Hawkins.
All right, I will keep it in mind. John, when he's hired, we expect you to call in and complain.
If you guys hire him, I will call in every week and complain.
Deal. Thanks so much, man. Don't be a stranger. Stay in touch.
Cheers.
Let's take one more and then...
Colorado down 3-0 right now to Edmonton, by the way.
Of course they are. One more. We'll call it a night. One of our favorites. We've got Mike in St. Leonard. Hello,
hey,
Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good, good. Good news tonight.
Yeah.
PK finally signed and stopped the holdout. You know, the only person that thinks of it tonight is probably the NHLPA, but that's a whole different story for another night.
They have 10 years to get over it. So.
Yeah, that's basically it, you know. Only comment I wanted to make about PK is the only thing that bothers me is people slagging him for his personality. That's a cultural thing in hockey that I'm still not going to really understand. From a marketing view, he's a god, but from an internal view, it seems like he's a menace. But, you know, these are the same people who will go and cheer on Ray Lewis, who's been like, you know, every time I see him crying, he's probably thinking, I'm so happy I'm not in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think we've got to take a step back from that and just appreciate him for what he was. And the same thing with Gary Carter. When that came out after years later, that people were...
That the guys didn't like him?
Yeah. You know, it actually, as a fan of the team and as a fan of Gary Carter, it's funny how it actually bothers you. It bothered me.
Sure.
People would look at him that way when, to us as fans.
Right.
I mean, it's Gary Carter or bust. I mean, he's a god. And when he got traded, I remember as a kid, I was so upset when he got traded to the Mets. And unfortunately, I hope not, but it's possible that PK will end up that way too, where he won't be able to operate in the city anymore.
Mike, do you remember when Gary Carter came back to the Expos for the Swan Song?
Yep.
He held out before signing with the Expos.
He finally got his due.
He held out. I don't know. People don't seem to remember that.
I didn't remember that.
This was my first moment as a journalist. Was at John Elias's baseball camp when Gary Carter showed up to talk to the kids that day, and I raised my hand like some little pipsqueak and said, why did you hold out for an extra $250,000 when you could have been playing with this team that you say that you loved?
Right.
Because I was a little kid, and I had no concept of baseball being an evil business, not to mention a wonderful sport, an evil business. And hockey's very much similar, but I feel like the comparisons...
And a few years later...
A lot of people don't remember that about Gary Carter.
Tim Raines as well.
Let's cross our fingers that people don't remember it. Well, different circumstances.
Different circumstances, Raines, yes.
There was collusion with Tim Raines.
Yeah, there was collusion involved in that. And I always thought, you know...
This will not be the reason. This will not be what people remember PK Subban for.
Right. Right.
And God forbid if it is.
Getting back to what you were saying, Mike, about PK and having rubbed the players the wrong way, I often, and this happened a lot when PK first came into the league 3 years ago, people didn't get his swag. I mean, guys in the NHL, and I'm going to say it, a predominantly, obviously, white complement of players.
Oh, do you find, though, the NHL is predominantly white?
Predominantly,
really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm going to say it. And I felt, and I always said it, that he might have been a little too black for these guys, and it made them a little uncomfortable. And but I'm going to say it, a little too much swag, something you'll see more often in the NBA or the NFL.
Sure.
And, you know, guys were not used to this kind of thing, and it probably made them a little bit uncomfortable. I mean, and let's be honest, and that's really what it is. PK just acted a little too black for these guys' comfortability factor.
But you know, it's
Mike, do you think that's crazy, though? I mean, I'm listening to it, and I personally don't have much to disagree with that statement.
No,
nobody wants to say it, though, because everybody said, well, no, that's not the issue. It was the issue. And you could see it. You could see you're getting that kind of vibe. I mean, there's a dangerous kind of racism these days, and it's subtle racism.
Yeah.
I would rather, you know, the burning cross KKK guy than the guy who kind of says the... You know, the black joke in the bathroom and nobody's around.
Thank you very much.
No, but you know what? That's more dangerous when the guy's more subtle and it comes off as something else.
Yeah, okay.
It comes off that he's pompous. It's got nothing to do with his culture or his background or how he's acting. You know, I mean, let's be honest about what guys were looking at and how they were feeling about PK.
But you know what it is also, too, Jay, is that, you know, I remember when one of the hosts on your show, actually, I think it was Simon, mentioned, you know, it's kind of funny that PK, a guy who's been in the league at this at that time less than 2 years, and every night he's on Don Cherry's show on the Hockey Night in Canada, he's showing a clip talking about PK, you know, and he says, what makes him so different from the other 700 guys in the league? You know, I mean, just insinuating the fact that what you just said is so true is that even someone who's, and it's better when it's someone who's not black who says it.
Right.
And when Simon said it, it gave, to me anyway, made it valid, something that I thought was true. I was like, PK's just like a young guy playing in Montreal. Why in the world is he always being highlighted by Don Cherry? Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? He stood out for the wrong reason. But it's not only blacks, too. It's also...
Well, no, because don't forget that Don Cherry was chirping in Sidney Crosby, right?
Yeah, but you know what? The other problem in the NHL, too, and I think in Canada, we're too comfortable with making it out, not only with whether you're black, but whether you're Russian. You know, when I saw Yakupov and, you know, the whole night they're talking about his celebration, you know, he's not one of our boys. You know, he's a Russian kid. He's exuberant. Ovechkin went through that as well, too. And that's not cool either. I mean, yeah, he's Russian. And, yeah, anyone would take him on their team in a heartbeat. And, yeah, maybe he celebrates in his own way. And it's absolutely great for the business. And so maybe it's the kind of discomfort. I mean, hockey's had its own way for a long time,
mm-hmm.
without having to deal with the people from outside very much of color or different nationalities having any sort of profile. And
but
all
it's
kind
so
of
good
into...
for the game.
I it mean, is so good for the game.
And with all due respect to Anson Carter, he's not PK Subban.
No.
Right. And baseball had the same problem, by the way. It was always kind of taboo for anybody to celebrate on the field. Until when? About 20 years ago or 10 to 15 years ago.
What, Ozzie Smith doing backflips?
Well, it's not even that. It's the celebration going around and, you know, when everybody gathers at home plate and they all start jumping.
Sure.
It's when the Latino players started coming in 15 to 20 years ago, which changed kind of the culture of how baseball players celebrate. A little more free, a little more honest. You know, dancing on the field, great handshakes, high fives. It changes, and for some people, that's culture shock.
And I think it's nice that some people can still have fun,
right?
And do something that you know not only makes them money but allows them to smile at the same time.
Yeah. So get over it, white people. Eat your roast beef and shut up. All right.
I like roast beef.
and you're entitled.
You just
to.
Yeah, and just don't relegate it to only Sundays, okay?
That's right. Well, you know what? Hopefully it works out for him. I hope that this guy doesn't end up on another team in a couple of years.
Well, that's what we said last week. Thank goodness he's not going to be in black and yellow or in white and blue.
You know what? If I'm
Glenn Sather, if I'm even running the New York Islanders and I'm moving to Brooklyn, he's my number one target in 2 years. I don't care what it's going to take to get him there. It's from a marketing perspective in a city like that and what he can bring. And that's the only thing that, you know, Bergeron took the risk as well, too. You know, long-term, he may have saved himself a few bucks. If this guy still plays 30 minutes a night and still effective, boy, is it going to cost you in a couple of years.
And when in a couple of years when every team is throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at P.K. Subban, let's see how much he loves Montreal and if he really wants to stay.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, I like that it's been 4 hours since he signed the 2-year deal, and we are already knee-deep in discussions about his next contract.
Hey, it's like politics. We're talking 2016. You know, next, you know, Steve on next. You know, we got to move on.
I just got this tweet. Anson Carter isn't P.K. Subban, but in all fairness, P.K. Subban isn't Jerome Iginla either.
There you go. I don't know what that means, but there you go.
I think we're just naming black hockey players now. Is
yes.
that what's going on?
That's how bad it is. All right. You can actually name black hockey players.
Wow.
Mike Greer. That's all I got. That's it. That's all we got.
I'd like to see what Tony McKechnie has to say about this.
Or Claude Vilgrain.
Remember Claude Vilgrain?
Yeah, aren't we just the best, right? We're so
he played on the junior team, right? Canadian junior team?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I remember
him.
That
does not make me a racist. I just genuinely don't remember.
No, it's the shocking OPG card that you got. It's like, oh, my God, there's a black guy playing for New Jersey. I can't believe it.
That's exactly my reaction as well when I saw Claude Vilgrain.
I got to say, I'm very disappointed that P.K. Subban hasn't called in. I threw out that toll-free number, and I'll do it one more time, just in case he wants to slide in before we play the Plaskett. 1-866-896-2546. Come on, PK, call us.
Guys, have a great evening.
Mike, we appreciate it.
For PK.
Okay, I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks so much. We'll speak next week. All the best. And I think that pretty much wraps it up. Jimmy, don't press play quite yet. Because I feel like Jay and I are going to have a moment.
Did you see how fast he moved towards that CD player? Jay, you got somewhere to be there, Jay?
As far as we knew, we should only, for all intents and purposes, be on air for 14 minutes right now.
Right.
This is the start of the show.
Right.
Gagnon Wild coming up in studio.
Beautiful.
So, Jay, how was your week?
It was fantastic.
Because, you know, we had a show planned for tonight.
Yes, we did.
It totally got thrown out the window, but we had a show. It was good.
Yeah.
In fact, I will tell you right now, we can't recreate it. Lightning in a bottle. It was the best show we'd ever planned out.
Mm-hmm. Was it?
It's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone. You know,
it's a damn shame, Dave.
The rivalry guy was gonna, pop his radio cherry with us tonight.
Yes.
It was gonna be something special. And now PK Subban goes and signs his big contract. And do we have it? Is it PK in Toronto?
No, it's not.
Well, okay. I guess we can go to Brian and Andy G.
By the way, I heard through the grapevine that PK will be with the team on Wednesday.
Well, is that grapevine on...
It's not confirmed.
No, that grapevine is...
The little birdie told me.
The little birdie, his name is Darren Dreger. And
yes.
If you listen to Brian Wilde, his name is Don Meehan.
I knew this 3 hours ago, though.
Well,
I didn't want to break it without confirmation. That's a responsible journalism.
Jay Farrar is learning.
Right.
You are becoming a responsible journalist, my friend.
I don't want another KO thing on my hands.
This is
going to
keep you on the Kaufman Show.
Do my research.
Long time. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It wasn't the KO thing that was the issue. It was the comment made by the right. We can go right back to what we were just talking about. I can dance around it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you can check the archives at thekaufmanshow.podbean.com.
Do that.
In the meantime, you can also communicate with Jay and I through the lovely world of Twitter. I'm at The Kaufman Show, KAUFMAN. Jay is at J Pub Radio. Let's take one last phone call and then call it a night. Brian and NDG, what's going on?
Hey, guys. You know, I just got home from work. I hadn't been able to hear anything all day, and I just turned on the radio and heard a little clip about somebody mentioning PK got signed, so I had to call. Now, that's great. I think it's stuff, but it's not overdone. It's more or less makes it like the leak of what was, you know, we knew that he wasn't going to sell for five. They were going to give him a little more. I thought maybe they might give him six, so this is great. And what you're talking about the race thing, I don't care who does it. You know, I think hockey needs more personalities. I like what you guys were saying about what he does, big deal, Sophie's butt. That's you know, like the other sports are part of the appeal, part of what drives the publicity is the personalities, and that's one thing that hockey lacks. So Keep it up, PK.
Great call. Great point. Thank you, Brian. We like people that we can talk about.
We like people that agree with us.
I'm a guy like me.
I love guys like me who talk like me.
I'm wondering if I should leave us on this note that Iran says that they have launched a monkey into space. You know, because the show's been so serious.
So they've hit 1952. Good for them.
I'm looking for confirmation, but excellent. I'm not getting it. We can assume that this
Iran
is...
just celebrated the year of 1952. Good for Iran.
See, and I'm thinking maybe it was the IKEA monkey.
Let's hope.
And
we
know,
can only hope.
In the spirit of cooperation between Canada and Iran,
right?
Because we know they're such close nations.
Did they send the owner into space too? Because, or is that just wishful thinking on my part?
Doesn't that cost like $25 million if the owner wants to go?
Well, I think it's worth it.
I hope you're all following
with
Commander,
no return ship,
Commander Hadfield.
Yeah.
Have you started following him on Twitter?
No.
The best person in the history of Twitter.
Wow, really?
Yes. Okay. He is the Canadian spaceman. That's up in at the International Space Station right now.
Okay.
And Jay, all he does is live tweet photos of Earth. It's the most amazing feed.
Mm.
He's a big Leafs fan. We won't hold that against him. And he was part of the ceremonial puck drop for the Leafs home opener. So he's got
from
that.
Orbit?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes. He dropped.
It's a hell of a drop.
Well, especially, I mean, there's some gravity issues, too. It's hard to get a puck to drop up there.
Right.
But I don't know.
Put it in a Red Bull canister and let it go down.
Forgot about that guy.
Good.
Forgot about...
didn't take long, did it?
Baumgartner.
You didn't... For that overdone commercial, yeah.
All right,
I guess
this is the part where we start to ramble and then we call it a night,
it
right?
Is.
So hold on, Jimmy. Jimmy, don't play that song, Jimmy. Don't play that song. I want to just get through our list of guests, and they're all over on a bunch of little pieces of paper, so if I miss one, the first one's tonight.
Oh, you're going to ask me?
I want to thank our guest tonight, Jason Portnoy, and you'll be back, actually you won't be back, but the rivalry guy will be back, and he'll be talking True Rivalry next week, and well, can our listeners get a little something for that? Can they maybe just a something, you know, not a case of t-shirts,
not like
a container, t-shirt. Not a container, just maybe like one or two.
We'll see what mood the rivalry guy's in. Apparently, he was just stood up today. And,
jeez.
Maybe your listeners could get a gift, but I don't know if you guys are going to get gifts.
That seems fair to me. That seems fair. I want to thank John Liu from TSN, Brian Wilde from CTV, Sergio Mimesso from TSN 690, Brian Wilde again from CTV.
That's right. You got to thank him twice.
And Francois Gagnon. Am I leaving anybody out?
Nope.
You, the listeners. You make this all worthwhile.
And our callers.
Been a fun night. Little TSN special programming from 8:30 to 9 after the presser. We spoke with John Bartlett. And here we are. This has been a fun one. I want to apologize again to John Mallow from Team Canada. 2 weeks in a row getting bumped.
Poor guy.
I'm a really big baseball fan. I feel bad about this. I want this guy to win the World Baseball Classic.
We'll get him on. We'll get him on next week.
He'll be... the interview's been recorded.
it's collecting
it's,
dust.
Exactly.
It's been there
dust.
So long, it's on an 8-track.
Right. Hopefully we play it before the World Baseball Classic starts.
Right.
And Matt Damon. We'll get to you eventually, Matt Damon, we promise. Okay, Jimmy, you can play the song. Night, everybody.
Listen up, kid, it's not what you think. Stayed out too late, had a little too much to drink. Walk home across the bridge when the marquee shut down. There's a reason that I love this town. Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house if your house burns down. There's a reason that I love this town. I saw your band in the early days. We all understand why you moved away. We'll hold a grudge anyway. shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. It's the reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that sound. If you saw my band in the early days, then you face down in our suit, some French restaurant. I saw Riviera de Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love.
Listening to the Kaufman Show. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman, and we'll be back next Monday night.
I don't know. What'd that sound like?